Blog Talk Radio.
You guys, I would come on this week, and you know what? I forgot all about it, and then today I was like, well, last night, no, that's not true. Last night I decided I wasn't going to do it because I was so tired, man. I'm tired now. I've had like a crazy, kind of crazy, it's been kind of slow, but crazy. I mean, because I have a lot of, I'm finishing up. You guys know my classes, and so I'm on this particular class I'm doing now. Like, I'm trying to get prepared for my final, and I'm doing like a presentation in it, and I'm trying to learn sign language, ASL, and it's such a cool class. I love it, but sometimes I feel like I'm rushed to learn, you know, and stuff. And so I'm doing a presentation this week in class, and I'm trying, and it's in sign language. So I'm like, oh my gosh. It's going to be easy because it's just a beginner sign language and stuff, but oh my, listen here, you know, and I'm one of those people who sometimes can be overly, you know, I'm a Virgo moon, so like when I get on people on this show, you know, when I be like, I talk about reviews, I start to do a review or something, and I'm nitpicky at people, well, know this, I'm like 20 times more nitpicky on myself. So I'm, like, always doing these, like, okay, did I do this right? Did I do that right? So it's just, yeah, so it's been that kind of week for me. But I am glad I could get on and talk to you guys. I am so excited. This week, what are we going to do? We're going to try this again. We're going to try it again. Is it Maxwell Knight? Saturday? We're going to try this shit again, okay? This week, I'm headed for going to see the night tour in Oakland. Hopeful. I'm pretty sure everything's going to go well. Because, shit, if it don't, I'm still going over. All right, so I'm excited about my trip to Oakland. And, you know, because I'm just excited to go to San Francisco. I love San Francisco, okay? And then see my uncle and my aunt and stuff like that. It's going to be cool for me. So I'm going to have a good time, okay? Really have a good time. So I'm excited about that. And so we're going to, you know, this is the night tour. I've been seeing this thing about this contest for Miami, and so I told my mom, and I was thinking my mom and my aunt, because, you know, my aunt likes Maxwell, too, and I was like, you know, if I win the tickets, I think I'll send my mom and my aunt. So I think I'm going to put in for the tickets. They have this contest going on, like on Fandom or something like that, for Maxwell tickets to the last show, Miami. I'm not going to go. But I am going to say, if I actually won some tickets, I would actually give them to my mom and my aunt. My mom might talk shit the way the whole time she did. But my aunt would love it. So I don't know. But I'm going to try to put it in the contest before it's, I think it's out the 27th. But, like, it's a really good cause for what they're doing. I think they're, they raise money for instruments or something like that for kids or for people in school and stuff like that. It's going to a real awesome charity. I think that's it. So, yeah, so if you guys see a contest, fandom, that would be cool. I think that's the last show for the night tour with Anthony Hamilton and Joe. But check this out. Like, Maxwell's going to be some really neat places up in the summer. Y'all like chic. Carlotta, you going to go? Listen, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, there is one show that I really want to go to in Napa Valley. I was like, oh, my God, because all the artists they have on it is so fire. It's really not about him. It's really that they got so many great artists that I would love to see, but it is fucking expensive. I mean, you know, you like, y'all like Carlotta, please. No, it's expensive. But, in the middle of the summer, California, that might be a cool festival in California. That might be something I would love. But I also have, I'm heading the road to my 50th, and I'm going to the Essence to see Janet, and I don't know. And so I was thinking about that. It's called the, what's the name of this festival? I forgot the name of it. I have to look it up. Hold on. I have to look it up for y'all and tell y'all what the name of this damn festival is. I don't forget the name. Let's see if I can find the name of it. But, it has a lot of cool artists that look like it's going to be on the show. And it was so funny because, we were talking about my 50, I was thinking about having a, birthday get together with some of my girlfriends in Vegas for my 50th. But they was all like, maybe we can do Napa Valley. I was like, that's 3 months before my birthday. He's like, girl, we can celebrate. Because they liked all the people that was going to be on the show, on the event. They weren't thinking about Maxwell. As a matter of fact, I don't know if they even paid attention. Because if they would have saw him up there, they probably would have been like, nope. But let's see. It is. What is it? It's the name of this, the Blue Note Jazz Festival. So it's July the 30th and July the 31st. I think Maxwell's going to be the 31st because he's in Vegas the 28th through the 30th, I think. So I thought about the Vegas trip one, but, I'm like, I don't know, Probably not, though, for me. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, so let me get through this one. Let's see if this one happens. Which is Saturday night this week in Oakland, Maxwell with Anthony Hamilton. It's the last of the three tour dates for Anthony Hamilton and Joe to be with them. And I am extra excited. It's so funny because my uncle, he usually goes to festivals and stuff, and he hasn't been to a concert in, years, right? And so he's hanging out with his niece, right? He's going to hang out with me for the show. And he's like to me, I haven't been to a concert in years. I always go to concerts and festivals and stuff. So I don't know, inside, I'm like, don't be nervous. It's going to be cool. We're going to have a good time. He's like, I'm all about having a good time. I'm like, we're going to have fun. So it will be fun. It'll be exciting. I'm excited for this. And I'm excited for him to see it because I know he likes music. And he's a musician himself, so I think he'll enjoy the show. Okay, what else has been going on in my world? I finished last week my lighting project. Now, see, I actually had a show on Saturday to do, but I got another lighting person to come in and do my show last week because I thought I was going to be in Oakland. But it turns out good that I wasn't there. The week before last, it was week before last, I think. Good thing because, I got so much done, so much stuff I needed to get done. I'm telling you, I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad it worked out for this weekend. But, yeah, only thing is, you know, I'm not glad because I got to go get my hair retouched and all that craziness. But other than that, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about my trip. But I was supposed to be doing a show for my lighting, but they end up doing the show, and it was fabulous, the last show. I went to class on this week, last week, everybody was like, oh, it was so great, it turned out good, you know, blah, 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 you didn't have to worry or whatever, and, you know, we were taking down the set and everything, so we had a really good time, really good discussion about things that worked, didn't work. Then Monday, you know, we're coming back in and having a discussion for next year's, which is going to be my last semester as an undergrad. I'll be graduating. God bless. But, yeah, so I'm excited about that. So next semester, I am hoping, depends on what we're doing, I'm hoping to do directing. So I'm kind of excited about that. I'm excited because I think I can do it. So we'll see. But yeah, so that's my couple of weeks so far. What else did I want? I got to see Snowfall, the finale. Snowfall did not disappoint in the finale, okay? I'm not gonna say what happened because I know that some of you probably haven't watched it yet, but let me just say this, okay? Franklin, this is my opinion. Franklin, to me, is not very as likable as Tyreek. I mean, I know we hated Tyreek on Power a couple of, you know, when he was on Power. But Tyreek, we've learned to like him now on Power Book. And, I compare both of them because they're kind of gangsters in different eras. But Tyreek is a modern day, and Franklin is from the 80s. But I have to say, Franklin is not likable to me. You know, sometimes Franklin can be extremely selfish and stuff like that. So I felt the whole dynamics with Uncle Louie and Aunt Louie and everything and Uncle Jerome and all this stuff that has happened to him, I felt it was just, like some people say karma, it was just what comes, it was just, Franklin has made a number of mistakes, and I just thought it was, it had to be. Now, do I think that is it going to last? No. And do I think there's going to be some consequences from what we saw in this last one? Yes, yes, yes. And I can't wait, okay? I didn't like the Tiger episodes and stuff like that, but in the drug episode, but this last one, the finale, loved it, and next year I'm hearing they're going to end Snowfall, so it's going to be the conclusion to Snowfall, the finale, next year. Now, I'm hearing also that the Ozarks is getting ready to come back. Now, I am so excited and hyped about the Ozarks, okay? I'm like, Carlotta, you like all these gangster flicks, I do. Oh, but I am excited about the Ozarks coming back. Ozarks is not really, it's kind of gangster, like white gangster, but it's good, okay? So I'm excited for that. So I'm hearing that's coming back. And then, Power Force. I didn't talk about Power Force in it very, oh my God. If you haven't seen that, I'm going to break, about to give you a spoiler. What's her name? Ayana? Liliana? Oh, that's all I'll say. I wasn't expecting it, but I see, let me tell you this, I do see that at the end of Power Force, they're linking Power Book 2, Ghost, with Power Force, so we know that this is at the end of Tyreek and Tommy's relationship, and I am geeked about where they're going to go. And let me tell you something, Power Force needs Tyreek and him. But I will say this to the Power Book writer universe, the writers. Please do not bring Tyreek in because Tyreek in has a weakness to Tommy because I feel like Tyreek has established himself when he came up with that idea and then when he met Tommy in the grave, the end of the second season of Power Book Ghost, and I feel like Tyreek is now a gangster within himself, and he's come up against somebody like Mecca, and that was gone in a second. So I say that you guys can't, if Tommy, there is a link between Power Book 2 and Power Book 4, you cannot bring Tyreek in as a little kid to Tommy. I mean, you know, his nephew grown and different, right? So I hope that's what we get to see in that. So those are the finales that have come up that I've got to see. I've been watching Love After Lockup, but I didn't get to see this week's episode. I have a thing about Love After Lockup. It's my guilty pleasure. You know, let me tell you why I love Love After Lockup. It's the human nature aspect of it. You know, I'm drawn to shows with human nature situations going on in the craziest way. And so what I love about Love After Lockup is there's these women, mostly women, there are some men too, but they're trying to find love and they go to find it for the prison, which if I'm the prisoner, the first thing I'm asking is, why are you looking for love in the prisons? But there's, to me, I find that those people, not all of them, but a lot of them in these shows tend to have issues of control. And sometimes they feel that having someone behind the bars is more controlling. It's more easy to control. But when they come out, it is a different story. What you see in this show is, like, they always put pressure on these guys and women to get married real quick and stuff. And you're like, damn, they just got out of the jail doing a 10-year stint. Calm your asses down. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy show, this crazy show. So it's just my guilty thing. But I have not finished watching it, so I can't really speak on it really like I have Power Book Force and Snowfall, okay? But that is it. That is my week, okay? So now I guess I'll get to my It's a Word, because I do have one tonight. And it's one that I put up on my Facebook page this week because it was an old memory I had. You know, I love some Oprah things, like when Oprah gives a quote and stuff like that. I'm still an Oprah fan on the spiritual aspect because I think that Aquarius can be such a powerful orator and teacher when she really wants to be. So, you know, so I love something that she said a few years ago, and I thought I would use it tonight for you guys because it's something that I tend to, even heading towards my half a century mark, I have a hard time sometimes with this, and that is that, you know, that in life, even though I'm pretty sure I've disappointed people, but I have a hard time with this whole, I can be a people pleaser at heart, right? And I've worked really hard to try to come up out of that, but I'm still a little bit of that. So I love this particular saying, and I'm going to let Oprah say it. Hold on if I can pull this up. All right, let's see. We'll get it up here. Okay, she said on this particular thing, and I believe she talked to Brene Brown. What's her name? Brene Brown or something? I forget her name. But she's saying, we cannot live a brave life without disappointing some people. This is what she says in this. So take a listen, and this is your It's a Word. Okay, I thought it was up. Hold on. Okay. Let's go.
You cannot live a brave life without disappointment. I know that in my heart, but it sounds really important to say. Live a brave life without disappointing some people. But those people who get disappointed, it's really okay. Because the people who really care for you, the people who are rooting for your ride, will not be disappointed. The only people who are disappointed are people who have their own agenda.
Yeah.
And their agenda is not aligned with your agenda. And that's how I make myself brave. I say, well, the people who really care about you, who are rooting for your rise, those people who are rooting for your rise, they're going to be okay.
Okay, I hope you guys can hear that, because I know sometimes I listen back to the audio, and sometimes you can hear it, sometimes you can't. But she was saying that you cannot live a brave life without disappointing some people, and that people who are wanting something else for you have their own agendas, or they have their own things. And that, this is what I'll say on this. sometimes that's the case. A lot of times that's the case. I mean, you know, but there are times when that's not, when people really have the best in mind for you and they can see that you're going towards something crazy and they're like, shit, hold up, calm your ass down, you know, whatever. But for the most part, you can't, when you're really sure about something in life, when you're really sure of going a certain way or moving towards a certain goal or towards a certain thing or something like that, you're going to always cause controversy among some, maybe people, especially if you're stepping out of an energy that you may have been in for a while or something like that. It will always cause people to question, to say, are you sure? Do you want to do that? Or blah, 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 blah. And you will disappoint people. You will make some people will be hurt by your decisions. You know what I'm saying? Some people will be like, and they will be disappointed in your decisions. But you cannot live a brave life without disappointing some people. And I need to hear that so much. Oh, if I hit the worst 5-0, I mean, I really need to hear that well. Okay, so, yeah. So I don't know if I want to expand any more on it, but that's right, it's a word. You cannot live a brave life without disappointing some people. And people who love you and really care about you, like she said, they will be rooting for you no matter what. I always laugh. My grandparents, I am almost 50, okay? They don't see that. They be like, I think they see when they see me as a little baby and a little kid. And so there is, even when I make crazy decisions or I make anything, that, you know, even if I feel there's a little tinge of disappointment in me, they are never, it's almost like it turns into, they end up not being disappointed. It's like, you know, they only see the baby or the kid, you know, whatever. And so they always want to protect. So even when I make decisions that sometimes for them, it's just like, oh, my God, what is she about to do? I always know I have love. You know, it's so funny because my grandfather is always like, you know, he's always like, don't you real ever think you, you know, you don't, you, you know, as long as we here for you or something like that. So it's always funny about, you know, if I'm going back to school or if I'm making a decision to go back to school, if I'm making a decision to do something different and going a different direction in career or whatever, they may not always understand it, but they're always rooting for me, and that is so it's beautiful to have that love there. So try to be that base. Now, I'm that person with my friends. I'm going to always tell you straight up what I think. But in the end, if you want to do something, I had this one friend. I'll tell you this story. I had this one friend. She'll know who I am, who I'm talking about, as we talk about this show, and they know I use stories on this show. But I had one friend. I felt like she was going headlong into a relationship too fast because she had just got out of one. And I knew that she was still, you know, back with in her head with the other person or whatever. And I said to her, I said, hey, I'm going to tell you, I love you, and you're welcome. You're going to do whatever you're going to do. But you asking me my opinion, and my opinion is this is too fast. But do what you're going to do. She said she did what she's going to do. And you know what? I cheer her on no matter what, okay? And the relationship lasts. It's still going. I mean, they've had their hiccups, but it's still going strong. So what I'm saying is that was a good decision for her, but I also told her my thoughts. Okay, so, I mean, you know, but I always say to people, people have to make their own decisions and root in life. So you're going to disappoint people with your decisions. That's okay, because if you know that you know that you know, then you got to do what you got to do, right? If there's something that is leading you to something. I know that sometimes with me. Sometimes I do weird things. And my family be like, everybody be around me going, what is she doing? Which way is she going? I don't even know sometimes. So I know sometimes it can seem like people are like a little disappointed or like, what is that girl doing? You know, But I understand I have to go where my intuition and my instinct fit. I feel like it's leading me. And so, you know, even with crazy decisions, some decisions I make every day, okay? So that's why I'm telling you, you cannot live a brave life without disappointing some people. And that is your It's a Word from Oprah Winfrey this week, okay? You know? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so when we get back, okay, we got to talk about so much stuff we got to talk about. CNN Plus, I listened to some of Jason Black tonight when he talked about Black Authority. He talked about on Black Authority channel, if you will listen to him on YouTube. He talked about CNN Plus and the failure of CNN Plus. And I was like, you are spot on. Jason was so spot on tonight. So if you guys, I put that link up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page if you guys want to listen to it. Jason's always a little controversial. Jason's edgy, but he be on point. So check that out. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on into the show. And we're going to talk about Megan. Megan Thee Stallion does an interview with Gayle King. Now, do I think her people did not take control of this narrative fast enough? No, I don't think they did, but it is what it is, okay? So she's telling the story about what happened with Tory Lanez, and I'm going to share my thoughts about it, okay, when I get back. Also, we want to talk about this carjacker killed after trying to carjack this little old lady, and he ended up stealing that woman's car and riding right on to eternity, to his death. Some people you don't fuck with out in these streets. Some people got instant shit that'll come after you, okay? And I said, that lady is protected in ways you probably can't even think. He even hit on her. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about y'all little kindergartners bringing tequila to class. What kind of show and tell shit do y'all got going on now? Y'all kids are bringing tequila to class. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about Will Smith is out in these streets overseas, okay? People have been seeing us. And, you know, there are rumors coming everywhere that Will and Jada are getting divorced. I'd be shocked if that happened. But we'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about, what's her name? What's the little girl's name? What's the little girl from Kansas City? Janelle Monáe. She's a grown woman. Janelle Monáe showed up on the Red Table Talks. Very interesting. I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening to Janelle Monáe. She's from Kansas City. I think Janelle's from Kansas. I don't know if she's from Kansas or Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know which side she's from. But she brought her mom out, and said her mom was a sweetheart. I still don't. I'm not a big Janelle Monáe fan as far as music is concerned. But hey, listen, it was interesting. She talked about who she was. I mean, I was too confused. When people start talking that shit to me, I'm they, I'm we, I have no sex. I'm like, heifer, you got a coochie. Was you born with it? You are something. So we're going to talk about her, talking about non-binary and all this stuff. And we'll discuss that. And that a little bit more when we get back. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't forget about Future talking about the women toxic to him. Oh, God, we can't miss that today. Okay, so we're gonna talk about that a little bit later on into the show. But meanwhile, let's play a little bit. Wait a minute. Hold on, y'all. Okay, meanwhile, let's play a little bit of music. I don't know. I have not put up any I haven't put up any new things, but I'll tell you what we'll listen to. Listen to some Maxwell, since y'all done made Maxwell number one out in these streets, and I'm going to see Maxwell this week. We're off, okay? So it's the CC Show. I'll be back in a moment, okay? Do you believe me? Do you?
are not meant to be made alone. Can I come through and see? Will you receive me? I'm shooting all my shots. I won't miss them, no. Oh, I'm giving all.
Tell me, babe, what you waiting on? Your eyes say they don't wanna be alone.
All right, that's a lucky day with Earth, Wind, and Fire. You are my love. Now, I always like, let me tell you something. You can't go wrong when you put Earth, Wind, and Fire music to the background, especially that song. What's the song? Dang it, I went blank. But when you put that, when you put the song back, that you cannot go wrong with that. You could, and the way he starts it off, oh my God, yeah, this is a sexy joint. All right, it's the CC Show. I'm Carlotta. It's late at night. I know. Y'all like Carlotta. What's the deal with you coming on late? Somebody asked me that too. It's like, you be coming on late. I don't even know. I can't catch you live. I'm like, that's the purpose is. For you guys to hear the archive. But some of you guys be up catching the show. Like, y'all on the line right now. Y'all be coming. Y'all be listening. I appreciate it. But I am just taping the show. I'm kind of like just taping it for you guys so that you can listen to it whenever you want to. I'm sorry I'm not doing live Saturdays anymore. We're going to go back to that eventually, okay? It's the summer's coming up. You never know, you know? All right, you guys, just get into these hot topics out here in these streets. All right, so this carjacker, right? You know, I don't like nobody try to hurt old women, old people, period, okay? Don't mess old people or the older people, because I have a lot of people in my family who are older, and one day, God bless, I plan to get old. So that's what I'm just saying. You know, I don't like anybody who will try to come after an old person. That's just the worst, right? So this story is very, I don't know if it's justice, but it says, this is from San Antonio. This is from Fox8Live.com. It says a San Antonio great-grandmother is recovering after a brutal carjacking this week. She's lucky to not have been more seriously injured, but her assailant later crashed her car and died. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, see? Mm-hmm. Charlene Hernandez, 72, was on her way to the Shell gas station Tuesday morning, something she does every day to get a Diet Coke. On her way inside, a man grabbed her, hitting her several times in the face in a tussle to take her keys. Hernandez said despite three men trying to tackle the attacker, he still got away with the car. Not long after, police found her car in an interstate total and with the suspected carjacker dead inside. And you know what? Let me tell you something. We coming up in a time spiritually. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'll just say this, okay? In a time spiritually, y'all better quit messing with the wrong one. You start carjacking, but be careful. You, the creep thieves and criminals out here, you carjack or hurt the wrong one. Instant stuff like that. Instant. It'll probably even be happy. It'll probably speed up quicker. Because I just feel like we're walking into an interesting time. And some people are going to have more protection on them because they got journeys to complete and things to do. And you try to interfere, you know what I'm saying, even older people. So I just thinking about that. But let's take a listen to this story on Channel 8. Here we go. Hopefully y'all can hear.
Like many grandmas, 72-year-old Charlene Hernandez loves to show off her kids.
This is my oldest grandson, Joshua.
And grandkids.
My great-granddaughter.
And great-grandkids. But a traumatic run-in with a carjacker Tuesday left her with her saddle scars that could have taken her away from them. Here she is now, left to tell the tale.
I can see that man in detail. I have a picture in my mind of him. It's there. And it doesn't go away.
Charlene made her way to this Shell gas station on South Cross Tuesday morning, something she does every day to get her Diet Coke fix. On her way inside, a man grabbed her, hitting her several times in the face, and a tussle to take her keys. Charlene says despite three men trying to tackle the attacker, he still got away. Not long after, police found her car here on I-35 at Somerset. Total, the assailant, dead.
There's a lot of people who would say what goes around comes around, karma. I did not think that. The only thing, I got really sad because he had died. And I'm granted he had hurt me, but the Lord saw fit to take him out of his misery.
Shirley says she's still sore and a little beat up, but mostly she's okay. The carjacker didn't take her trunk, but he did take something pretty valuable.
I realized I don't have a car. I don't have a car.
Despite her age, Charlene still works every day. She lives on the southwest side, her job on the northeast side. It's a bit of a jaunt, but the income helps keep her and her husband stable.
I just don't want to quit working. And so I've got to somehow get another car, and that takes money and stuff, so I've got to figure out what to do.
She's ready to get back to work and regain wheels to get her around. Ultimately, she says she's glad to be here and hopes we'll all learn to spring into action.
I just hope that if this situation happens to anybody else, that somebody will step forward, leap forward, run forward, whatever, and help the person that it's happening to.
Well, you know, this story, she was so kind and so sweet, talking about the Lord seeing fit to take him out of his misery. Something saw fit, and he won't be doing that to nobody else, though. Somebody, he was trying to get her funeral planned. Instead, he got his own funeral planned. Don't do dirty shit like that out here with these. Oh, I mean, just the worst. And, you know, he probably was in misery. And I'm wondering drugs, because, if you know, when you hear stuff like that where she said three other men tried to hold him down, he might have been on some drugs. You know, people really strong when they're on that sweat and stuff like that. They be strong as hell. I remember back in the day, you know, addicts, when it was back in the crack, when the crack bomb went out, and back then you used to have a few wet people do that water, the wet, you couldn't even give me, if for 5 minutes I saw anybody acting erratic and stuff like that around me, I'd get away. I'd be like, because they be strong as hell, and they be out of their mind, okay? So, you know, it made me think that is, you know, this old dude on drugs or what was going on there. I mean, you know, so that's, I'm just happy that she made it through, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to probably come together and get her a car. And, you know, a lot of people do that nowadays, and just, that's just a very sad situation. Because I think about my own family, you know, I have elderly grandparents, and my grandfather still drives out here in these streets. So, you know, so it's just, it's just a blessing that she's okay and she's there. She's able to still be there for her family. And plus she's taking care of her. She's the income for her and her husband right now. So, you know, wow. At 72, still working and having to go across town. And some fool coming trying to, you serious about life out here trying to live and take care of your family. Here comes some fool trying to take what's out of their mind, trying to take what's yours. He ended up losing his own thing. But, you know, it is what it is. I thought this story was interesting to tell you guys here. But let's go on to the next one. What are we going to talk about? Okay, this story I had to laugh about. It says, Michigan kindergartner brings tequila to school and shares with class. Y'all kids is bad. These kids, I'm telling you, these kids are something different out here nowadays. Y'all kids are special. That's according to MSN.com. It says, some parents are outraged after learning a kindergartner brought alcohol to school and shared it with classmates. Now, it is tequila. It could hurt them, especially if they drank, on a serious note, too much. But it says, according to NBC 15, the Michigan student shared a bottle of Jose. What is y'all doing? Bottle of a tequila. Jose, what is it? Mixed with 10% alcohol. Ooh, that's strong, too. Content with four students at Grand River Academy before a teacher stepped in to stop it. One parent, Alexis Smith, told the outlet she got a call from the school alerting her that her daughter was one of them. There were so many thoughts running through my mind, like, oh, my God, you know, What if it was open before the girl brought it to school? How much was it? She said. Fox 2 reported that Smith's daughter had 4 or 5 sips and felt woozy and a little dizzy. The students were under the impression they were drinking juice snack. Right. This little kitty girl, that's what they told John. Yeah, it's drinking juice snack time. Until the child who bought the mixed drink told him it was alcohol. One student didn't want to tell the teacher what it was, according to Fox 2. While we're trying to keep an eye on everything our students bring to school, that's simply not possible. It's unfortunate these types of adult beverages can be easily mistaken for child-friendly drinks, a statement from the school says. Now, see here, look, listen to that. Listen to that. Listen to this. Here we go. There's always somebody want to censor or do something, or stop something. It's unfortunate that these are looking like kids' drinks. So now you want to tell the motherfuckers how to make their drinks, okay? Just keep drinks out your kids' hands. Keep tequila out your kids' hands. Tequila's people's fault that your kid is bad as hell and bought drinks to school and gave them to, and tried to give them to some. Try to give them to some other kids. I can't quit laughing at y'all. That's not nobody's fault. Don't blame the tequila people because they want to look like a fruit snack or a fruit drink. A mess, okay? Now, Will Smith. Will, where you at? Will done went. I done heard Will was running over there. The people said he was in Africa. He was in India. Will just running away. And what you've been hearing lately is that, you know, the rumors are up that Jada, you know, that's more divorce talk. I don't think Will and Jada get divorced. If they do, okay. But they seem like the type that'll be at each other's house every day. You know, like when I heard Patti LaBelle years ago talk about when she got divorced from her ex-husband and how he was at breakfast at her house every day. That seems like Will and Jada. Like, they'll always be friends, you know. But I don't think they'll get divorced. But it says Will Smith, this is according to Yahoo.com, it says Will Smith is catching flights, not feelings. On April 23rd, the King Richard star 53 was spotted taking photos with fans at a private airfield in Mumbai, India. The outing marks Will's first public appearance since he infamously slapped comedian Chris Rock 57 live on television during a 2022 Oscars in March. While it's not immediately clear why Will was in India, the actor appeared to be in good spirits as he smiled and waved at his fans. His fashion choices also looked equally as cool and relaxed as Will spotted a white T-shirt, gray shorts, white tights, and a pair of sneakers. On March 27th, Will notoriously made his signs about, you know, after he smacked Chris. Listen, you know, Will is this. This might be a little bit of Will's problem. The inability to sit. I'm not saying this is what's going on. Maybe he's working. I don't know why. But if he's just out here running around after a situation like that has happened where he's embarrassed himself on TV and everything, he seems like the type that'll run, like just run. And he really doesn't. This is a time when he needs to hunker in and figure it all out. Now, he's probably going on some spiritual quest being a Gemini ascendant, you know, and a Scorpio moon, right? He's probably out there thinking he's on some spiritual quest. He tells himself the run, you know, as he runs to another country, I'm trying to, you know how you will do, I'm trying to, you know, heal myself spiritually, go to places where I'm spiritual, you know, you know the lies he tells. But really, he needs to stay rooted and grounded, have conversations with his wife, his family, figure out what the hell is going on, and figure out what he wants to do instead of running his ass around right now. But I digress. Ain't my business. But am I surprised we was running around to other countries or something? No, not whatsoever, okay? And I hope, you know, they saying, I'm hearing two different rumors. First, they're saying he's getting all kind of movies. And then they saying he's been getting, the films he's already made have been held back. So what the hell is it? I don't think it's going to hurt his career whatsoever, okay? That's all that I have to say on that note. All right, so moving on from that, because, you know, I mean, how much more can we talk about Will and Jada and the Smack, okay? Megan Thee Stallion. Now, I'm not understanding how Tory Lanez gets, like, arrested and stuff. Now, I guess I'm not understanding this court case. This court case has been one of the most confusing, weird, yet interesting court cases between two celebrities that's ever been. You cannot get a clear cut on what the fuck exactly happened that night. And when Tory brings it up, when he gets back to court, he immediately gets in trouble and punished for that. Meg now is out giving interviews. Are they going to do the same with her? I'm just trying to figure, or does she just got the protection? Let me just say this. It's a lot of money behind her little ass, okay? Her little wop ass. Thinking about her little coochie every time she can. It is a lot of money behind Meg. They can't let her fail this soon, okay? I don't know what the shit's going on with the court case. It sounds like some shenanigans and stuff. I'm not saying she lying. I'm not saying she telling the truth. What I'm saying is that her people have taken too long to take control of this narrative if she was the victim. Years ago, when the Chris Brown incident happened with Rihanna, a lot of y'all was making up shit. Rihanna got she probably did this. She probably did that. But the truth was, if you had listened to the story, the police report had done, she had done her police report immediately afterwards. It was very clear the police report was released, I think, on one of those smokinggun.com. It was very detailed about what had happened to Rihanna. As a matter of fact, Chris Brown didn't deny it or whatever. He actually, if I can remember, I remember when he was on Larry King, he said he had blanked out or whatever, okay? So, listen, he didn't deny what had happened, but people was making up stuff because they were so in love with Chris Brown, and it was hard for them to believe he was a little ice. But that shit, immediately Rihanna's people was on that shit. Like, even though Rihanna was holding back and was doing stupid shit, you know, like a little young girl dude going back, hanging around with her when somebody kicked their ass. I had a friend that did that one time. Got her ass kicked, and the next week she was with the dude. I was like, what's crazy shit? You can't kick my... Let me tell you one thing, okay? You cannot kick my ass. I didn't get that gene. That's why I didn't get the... I got my daddy's family gene. I got too much of a temper. I realized very young that nobody could, I could not, I realized, and I won't tell y'all the story how I realized it. Oh, my God, because they'll be like, Carlotta, you was great. Listen, I realized as a young girl that you could not hit my ass, okay? I had two incidents where people tried to try it, and it didn't end up very pretty. Well, one, they tried to shake me with, but the one that hit, and they was kind of playing, but all I could see was red. I'm not the one to hit, okay, because see, listen, I'm the burden in bed type. I will burn you. I can't be scared. I don't want to be, you know, like some people be running around here scared, you know. I don't like that feeling, being scared of somebody. Listen here. And I don't know how women live now. This is no diss to the women who get abused. Anybody can be in an abusive situation. But I will tell you one thing. You cannot go to sleep with my ass. You cannot eat with my ass. Me cooking dinner. And you trying to kick somebody's ass. Oh, hell no. No, no, no. I'll just say that. I will be on the ID chair. Snaps and all of it above. I don't play that kicking no asses, okay? That's not happening. I'm not the one. I don't know how women, I've seen it. I understand it. I can't live with that level of fear. And I'm glad I just didn't get that. That gene ain't came to me. Because it's not pretty. You wouldn't be pretty, okay? I realized very young. I was like, I ain't the one. I said, I'll be to kill somebody. Are they going to have to kill me? I'll be to kill them. It would not be a pretty situation. And that's for real. Okay, I understand that. And I'm not just talking crap. I'm really serious. I realize that at a very young age that I can't have that type of violent relationships because either one or two things will happen. You know, and so I know women who go constantly back to shit like that. That's crazy as hell to me because my own self couldn't deal with that kind of level of abuse. I just don't understand how, but there are a lot of women who deal with that kind of stuff, okay? And so to me, Rihanna, you know, she was young, and that little story was played out clearly, okay? We clearly know what happened, even though y'all motherfuckers was in denial out here saying all kind of shit. But with Megan and Tory, this story has been fucking cloudy at best. We don't know what the fuck happened. There's been so many stories. So finally, Megan brings her ass to sit down with Gail's born ass. I like Gail, though. But Gail be bored with that. But Gail, sit down with Gail's ass for an interview and talk about what happened to her. So let's listen to Megan's story that is taking them too long to grab a hold of the narrative about what happened to her. So let's listen to this. Hopefully y'all can hear.
It was an argument because I was ready to go and everybody else wasn't ready to go. But that's like normal friend stuff. Like, we fuss about silly stuff all the time. But I never put my hands on anybody. I never raised my voice too loud. Like, this was one of those times where it was like, it shouldn't have got too crazy.
It shouldn't have escalated.
Right. So I get out the car, and it's like everything happens so fast. And all I hear is this man screaming, and he damn bitch, and he starts shooting. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, he shot a couple of times. And I was so
in the car, shooting from the car.
He is standing up over the window shooting. And I didn't even want to move. I didn't want to move too quick. Like, because I'm like, oh, my God, if I take the wrong step, I don't know if he's going to shoot something that's, like, super important. I don't know if he's going to shoot me and kill me. Like,
were you afraid for your life?
I was really scared because I had never been shot at before.
Okay. All right. Listen, I don't know what was going on. I was looking at it. Listen. I feel that her, I'm not going to say what I personally think about the situation, but what I will say is this. It took her people too long, her publicists and management people, to get a hold to the narrative on this story because now it's out there like she's some sort of Jussie Smollett. So everybody's going to be questioning, well, did he really shoot you? You can see all them people's comments after this post went up on one of the blogs. All people's comments like, all right, and scene, and people saying all that stuff, you know. So, listen, the story has gotten away from them. It has gotten away from them. And Megan, a lot of money has been invested in this girl. Let me tell you something. Let me just say this. There's a reason showbiz tends to go after younger people. And not everybody in show business, but a lot of show business people tend to do that. Not only just from an energy perspective, but from, you know, maybe because they got to think youth got more energy, but also they know less wisdom. This poor girl came onto the scene. She's a great talent. But the problem is that you don't understand that heavy is the head. I always preach this on here. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Heavy is the head that wears the motherfucking crown. If you want to be queen, ask Elizabeth. I can be a heavy load. When I say Elizabeth, y'all know Queen of England. This is one of my favorite people to talk about on here. Heavy is the head when you're trying to take the crown, Megan. And Megan's little young ass was out here enjoying the spoils of showbiz and hanging out, running around and doing everything when she probably should have been working her ass on the album, because she already, you know, there was already a battle for her right when they come between the management companies or what is it, her old click record company and the new and Rock Nation or whatever. So she already stepping in the fire. She already got money exchanging and people trying to buy out contracts and all that stuff. She already got a lot of shit surrounding her, so she should have been focused like a motherfucker, really. I'm just telling you the truth. But because she's so young and she don't understand the shit she stepped into on a perspective, you know, she just thinking she out here rapping and, you know, she being a big star and stuff, but she just stepped into some real shit. And it is a lot of money behind her. And after this, I will say this, because the last couple of albums, little songs that's been released haven't been that great. And now they are having to run behind and try to lift you, grab the hold to the story again before it gets away from you. And what I say is this kid, it's tough. I know people are like, I always say, believe women. No, I don't believe it. I'm a person that believes, I like the law. I like the justice system when it's at its purest form, not when it's in its, because we can use in America the justice system in all kind of ways, but the justice system that's supposed to be is actually good. The justice system that's on paper is actually a balanced system. It is up to the prosecution, it's up to the people who say something happened to them to prove that it happened. It's not you, the burden of proof is always on the person who comes forward. And that's how it should be. Prove to me that something happened before I put somebody in jail or before I ruin somebody's reputation. I know they've been trying to change that here, just believe people and throw people in jail. No, that's not how it goes. And that's not how you would want it to go. If you were a person who has been accused of something, you want the right to tell your story. And you don't want somebody to say you're guilty before and not being able to help yourself in any kind of way. So what I'll say with Megan is I don't know what happened that night, but I know that she ain't got no time to play. Because she has gotten a series of bad publicity within the last several months from somebody who they put so much money behind you, little girl. They put a lot of money behind you. And I will say this, is hopefully you grow your ass up from this list. Hopefully you will grow your ass up and understand. I'm not saying you can't have no fun and stuff like that, but I'm saying heavy is the head that wears the motherfucking crown. Ask Nicki Minaj, okay, who held that crown for 8 years. It is not easy. And now you done created a whole spiral of other shit these record companies got to go out here and probably, I don't know what they covering up, what happened with you and Tory Lanez and your best friend. Y'all was all screwing each other. I don't know what was going on. And it don't sound like y'all know who shot who. I don't know what the hell. Now, you Megan saying one thing. He shot out the car. I don't know who the hell. Now, you know, some people can get crazy when they drunk. I don't know what's what, but I know one thing about her is that she has got so all this money invested in her, and she has not been worth the pot they done put in her little ass so fast, so quick. Now they already dealing with controversy with you good 3 years in. Was it 4 years in? 3 years, 4 years in. Shit, they already trying to run controversy out. Crazy ass. Lord have mercy. Just telling y'all, all you kids out here who think you might want to be rappers and singers, I told y'all some of y'all need to go look in a doctor, a lawyer, and engineering, and it's a host of other careers out here. You can background sing, you can what else can you do? You can do shit. You can do a lot of stuff in the industry. You can be a publicist. You can be a record owner. I mean, record company owner. You can be an A&R person. There's a lot of things you motherfuckers can do besides be in the business, okay? I'm just saying some of y'all don't need to be in the business because y'all don't understand. Just because you got talent don't mean you need to be there either, okay? Because some of you guys don't understand the dynamics that it is not just about your talent. I wish I could tell you the most talented person is the most popular. They not usually. It is a talentless MF that are right now at the top of the charts. Not all the time. Not everybody, but right where you going, damn, how do you get... Because it's about so much. It's just like even in sports. Look at Naomi Osaka. She can't get together. She come out of the court crying. I don't know. Please help me. And the people, refs is like, baby, this is tennis. I never break down. They like, I don't give a shit. Week three, stop the game. Nope. Because she didn't understand that it's not just about being the best tennis player. She didn't understand when she took that, put that damn crown on her head at the top, the Serena and Venus crown on her head. She didn't understand what was coming with that. You got to have personality. You got to be able to deal with this motherfucking press, with they crazy ass, and they done got more crazy and more vicious than ever before. And so when you want that crown, when you want the fame, when you got you a little Barbie doll, the Naomi Osaka Barbie doll, when you got all this shit, when you got all of it, you got to understand, you can't just be like, yeah, well, I don't want to really do interviews. They like, fuck that. You want to do some interviews? We need you to do interviews out here. Look at Tiger Woods the other day, okay? You think that they didn't call Tiger Woods to come up. They knew Tiger's ass can't win no Masters after his back. Right? He needed a few years probably to heal. But they had that man, pro man, out there probably bad back and all on that course, the golf course. Why they have him out there? Because Tiger is the king, even when he ain't doing well. He changed the history of that game. He made probably viewership go up. They probably had people watching golf they never had paying attention to it before. And that man probably didn't understand that even when he wrecked it, we had a bad crash there, he had to come out here and fucking pretend like he could still hit the ball right now. I got to, I'm in pain. I'm trying to hit this ball. Because why? Because he's just not just a golf player anymore. He's a revenue stream. It's a revenue stream. Tiger's a dollar bill at Augusta. He's a dollar bill whenever he plays. He's a dollar. Here's what it is, Megan. You have now become a dollar bill. You are a revenue stream. And you know what they made you? Let me just tell you something, Megan, what they did do over at Roc Nation, which I usually don't see them do. And maybe because you're a female rapper. If you were a female singer, it would probably be different. Well, female rapper, you have gotten so much, like you're like the female rapping Beyonce. They actually are promoting you heavy. And you out here fucking up. You can't play loudest, you can't play childish games when you the revenue stream. Woohoo. These kids, think about it. But all I'm saying is, before you take on and say, I want to be a rapper, I want to be a singer, understand that show business is about so much more than your talent. Talent is great. That's a good start. but you don't really got to have it. You mean, I can name some people out here that's got some. They have no business doing it. I mean, like, how the hell they become a singer? Because they have something else. They may have good look. It may be a lot of things, but trust me, there is so much more to being a star or a celebrity. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. And think about Megan. Look at her on every channel, on Gayle King. 20 months after it happened. She should have been on there a long time before that. But she's on here crying now because she made a tragic mistake running around. Probably she probably should have had her ass in the studio somewhere. I'm not saying don't be young, but I'm saying you got to pay attention. When you have that heavy a burden on you, financial investment on you, you have to change up. Listen, when you got a heavy investment, if you're a basketball player, LeBron can't go play basketball everywhere. He might want to pick up a game of street ball. You know what people will fall out, his agents and them will fall out. They saw him playing on the concrete somewhere probably. They probably, because, listen, that's his moneymaker. He has investments in him, from Nike to food places, all kind of things is invested in LeBron being LeBron. And he can't get out here and play with motherfuckers on the concrete no more. Jesus. Jesus said, I ain't got nothing to do with this. I'm sorry, Lord. You just can't do it. Megan, you can't be running around doing stupid stuff. You are now an investment stream. Not a money stream, revenue stream. To somebody. People are all invested in you, and you got to protect the investment. And you can't wait until the gunshots is fired and be like, I don't know which way to step in case he hit me this way, he hit me that way. She almost lost her life, whatever happened. I don't know if she almost did. It's a strange story. But all I'm saying is for you young kids out here, understand, okay? And I even just heard something the other day. I don't have the story up, but I heard the baby done got into another thing. They say he got into another fight. He is just not good. He got to cut this shit out. I don't know what's going on with his ass. That's another one. Y'all better understand out here this game. All right. Barack Obama talking about misinformation. Oh, he doesn't have anything to do. Does Barack have anything to do? This is according to the Chicago Tribune. In 2011, Barack Obama swept into Silicon Valley and yucked it up with Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's founder. The occasion was a town hall with the social network's employees that covered the burning issues of the day, taxes, health care, the promise of technology to solve the nation's problem. More than a decade later, Obama is making another trip to Silicon Valley, this time with a grimmer message about the threat that the tech giants have created to the nation itself. And what is that, Barack? In private meetings and public appearances over the past year, the former president has waded deeply into the public fray over misinformation and disinformation, warning that the scourge of falsehoods online has eroded the foundations of democracy at home and abroad. In a speech from Stanford University on Thursday, he is expected to add his voice to the demands for rules to rein in the flood of lies polluting public discourse. Now, what does that sound like to you? Not let's put more information out here to engage whatever misinformation he's saying is out there. No, but he's trying to censor shit. Oh, we've got to do something about misinformation. Is it misinformation? I know some of the shit is, but some of it, maybe you just don't want them saying much. There is not a discourse to engage misinformation. There's a discourse to get rid of anything that they deem as misinformation, which is scary to me, because what does that mean? The urgency of the crisis, the Internet's demand for crazy, as he put it recently, has already pushed him further than he was ever prepared to go as president to take on social media. I think it's reasonable for us as a society to have a debate and then put in a place put in place a combination of regulatory measures and industry norms that leave intact the opportunity for these platforms to make money, but say to them there are certain practices you engage in that we don't think are good for society. Oh, we don't. Who is the we? Obama said at a conference on disinformation this month organized by University of Chicago in Atlantic, Obama's campaign, the timing which stemmed from not from a single cause, people close to him said, but a broad concern about the damage to democracy's foundation comes in the middle of a fierce but inclusive debate over how to best restore trust online. Well, see, they want to control the narratives online. They are you know what, we have a society that are trying to control voices online, voices of dissent. Because that's what the misinformation, oh, if you're dissenting, you're misinformation. I mean, I just don't like how he sounds. I can see if he was saying we need to put more information out there to engage with misinformation. Because we're still a free and public, you know, social media is still a public domain. And we still have freedom of speech. Even if it's wrong, some of it we have to engage. Now they're trying to say, well, it's dangerous freedom of speech. What exactly does that mean, Barack? He's the most ancient, one of the most ancient presidents has ever been. Is that misinformation? Would that be misinformation? Would that be considered misinformation to say he wasn't a shit? Would that be dissent? Well, that would be dissent. But would they be considering me misinformation? She said misinformation. She said Barack wasn't shit. He wasn't. But especially with black people. I mean, he was great for Wall Street and all the rest of them. He was not shit for black people. Whether Obama's advocacy can sway the debate remains to be seen. While he is not sought to endorse a single solution or a particular piece of legislation, he nonetheless hopes to appeal across the political spectrum from common ground. He's got to think about how things are going to be consumed through different partisan filtering, but still make your true, authentic, best case about how you see the world and what the stakes are and why, said Jason Goldman, former Twitter blogger, Medium executive, who was at the White House first chief digital officer under Obama and continues to advise him. There's a potential reason to believe that the good path exists out of some of the messes that we're in, he added. Listen. I personally believe that America has been, politics and everything has been infiltrated with people who are against the idea of democracy. Because America has not been the ideal democracy, you know, because America was talking about freedom and liberty and shit and had slaves, okay, and mistreating black Americans more than any other group. However, I believe there's a group in place now throughout different forms. Is this misinformation I'm saying? Because it's my thoughts? They probably say I was misinformation. I do believe in my conspiracy thoughts. There is a group of people now who are out there engaging in this kind of dangerous discourse that Barack Obama is, which to me starts to put the clamps on freedom of speech. I think there are people who are a threat to democracy who are trying to say they're for democracy, but they're really not. Listen to them closely. They like to censor. What's your misinformation? What disinformation are you talking about? It's just really crazy to me. So I believe that we're in a very strange time and that these type of rules are going to be used to come against people who are dissenting against governments or dissenting against politicians like Barack or something like that. And then they'll say, oh, it's misinformation. But I digress. Oh, Lord. When we come back here, we talk about Meg. We'll talk about Janelle Monáe saying she's everything. There's no man. I'm not no man. I'm not a woman. I'm everything. You cannot limit me. I'm everything. We're talking about Gia Cassie, DJ Envy's wife, talking about she faked orgasms for 10 years. Damn. You know, they were the ones, remember DJ Envy, I think they was him and his wife, where DJ Envy said on the radio, it was kind of a controversy one time, that this is, you know, what they he was saying one of the things they do, don't quote me on this, like they would dress up as, like, her favorite singers and stuff, and, you know, with sex and stuff, like, role-playing, and one of them was Maxwell, and I remember Charlamagne went, ew, don't you know him? I was like, no, you're not supposed to play dress up with somebody you know. You're not supposed to be role-modeling your husband's friend or your husband's acquaintance. I think that was them. I remember him telling that story on the Breakfast Club. But for me, let me tell you something. You cannot dress up. I am not the chick. Maybe because I'm a Scorpio. I don't know if it's a Scorpio thing or not, but I am not a chick to dress. Role-playing is cute now, but you can't role-play as, like, no Denzel. You can't role-play as Maxwell. You can't do that for me. You can't role-play as Lenny Kravitz for me, because damn that, I don't want nobody pretending. Shit, if I'm going up here pretend, I'd rather have a real deal. I ain't trying to get you dressed up in some afro or something. What the hell is going on around here? I ain't trying to have you dress up as Denzel on Mo' Better Blues. Damn that. I want Mo' Better Blues, Denzel. I don't want your ass running around here dressed like this. I don't get it. I don't get that kind of thing. But we're going to talk about them, too, with the faking of the orgasms. And we're going to talk about this lady who showed up. Honey, I got to admire sis, okay? She told the judge she was trying to be on the – they had her up for jury duty. And she like, yo, judge, I'm not going to be able to do this. This is going to mess with my finances. Judge's like, huh? It's going to mess with my finances. My sugar daddy pays me, and I got to see him every day. Oh, yeah, she got out of court duty. She like, I ain't got time for this jury shit. I got some whole shit that threw out these streets. And I ain't mad at it. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we get back on the CC show. Meanwhile, y'all, here is New Edition with Once in a Lifetime Groove. I'll be back in a moment.
for the very best in government, politics, celebrity entertainment, music news, tune into the Carlotta Chatwood Show right here on Block Talk Radio.
All right, what's up, you guys? We are back on the Carlotta Chatwood Show, and I am talking hot topics, late night topics, recording for you guys. So I noticed a few of you on the line. I'm not taking phone calls tonight, so sorry, you guys, but I am on the you guys can listen live in, all right? Okay, so, right, so we were talking about, DJ Envy before, left off. Okay, so DJ Envy, I guess him and his wife have wrote a book, okay, Gia Cassie, and she reveals that she faked orgasms with her husband, DJ Envy, for 10 years. Oh, my goodness. Interesting, right? This is from XO Nicole. It says, XONicole.com. It says, Gia Cassie and DJ Envy are getting real about their nearly 30-year relationship. The couple were high school sweethearts and have 6 kids together. Gia has mostly been in the background. Her husband, whose real name is Rashawn Cassie, has been in the public eye working with many artists and being a part of the world's most dangerous morning show, 105.1's The Breakfast Club. But over the last few years, they have built a brand as a couple with their podcast, The Cassie Crew. And they share the cutest family photos with the 6 kids and social media and stuff like that. Okay. Let's see. It said, but the couple got candid about the topic during an interview on The Shade Room. The couple got candid about a topic that many couples may experience when they're too ashamed to admit, faking orgasms, okay? We would be intimate and we would be putting his best foot forward like he is in the business of satisfying just all around. He lives to make me happy, and he puts his best foot forward in that role, he said. So I would see him trying and really going to work. I'm sure many women can relate, and you want to reward the man for that work. The only reward you have to offer is an orgasm. And even if I didn't feel it, I would still be performative. So, yes, I was faking it. DJ Envy explained that he found out about her faking during an argument, which crushed him. It hurt me because I thought I was pleasing my wife. You hear all these stories about women talking about their girlfriend. Oh, girl, he was so sure. Oh, girl, he ain't doing nothing. And I feel like they laughing. And now I feel like that's what my wife is doing, he said. Wow. Gia's revelation to her husband in an argument ultimately caused a domino effect in their relationship, which led to the Queen's DJ cheating. Envy was reportedly involved in a very public cheating scandal with Erica Mena. Okay. We remember all that, okay? Okay. Chow. First of all, 10 years. That's a lot of time. But they are the couple that I remember. I think that I remember them talking about, like, dress up or whatever. Listen, you know, tons of people deal with this stuff. Women all around the world have talked about faking orgasms before. There's nothing to probably be ashamed of. But if it's constantly happening, I can see that. You know, a lot more couples are explaining things nowadays. And, you know, you have to – listen, I have to give them props, the DJ Envy props, because, you know, a lot of males would be embarrassed and not want you to tell that and stuff. But, I mean, I'm glad they're having such an open – Jada and Will have influenced a lot of y'all to be really open out here in these streets. That's another couple I love. She's a sex therapist, Shane Brody, and she does show with her husband, and I like that. I love them. I think they're always so very open about relationships and love and stuff like that. But I feel like that Will and Jada started a movement in the celebrity world where more people feel like they can talk about sexual things. Now, I personally think, you know, wow, that's a big thing to tell. But I guess because I think they've written a book or something like that, so that's why they're doing it. But I do remember a few years ago on the Breakfast Club, we were having a discussion about fantasies. And one of the fantasies was, I think her fantasy was masculine. What woman's fantasy isn't masculine? He has a sensual thing going on, a sexy thing. he's real sexy, but you can't. I don't like people playing dress up like that way. You can't say I'm gonna be there tonight. Yeah, I'd be like, nope, that's not happening. Because, you know, because that, no. I'm gonna dress up and be Lenny Kravitz tonight. Nope, that's not happening. I'd love to. You gotta dress up and be them. You ain't that is not attractive to me at all. You have to be yourself. I had to get Lenny if I want Lenny. I need the real Lenny. I need to read real deal. I'm not one of those people that, like, you know, oh, yeah. Like, you know, where they say women go to concerts and they get hot and come home for, you know, me and some, No. Now, the music might get me hot, but not sexually fantasizing about the person that's up on stage, because if I'm sexually fantasizing about them, I want they ass. You get what I'm saying? Like, let me shut up. I'm just saying, I don't have that thing where women say, oh, I got, when I went home, I pretended like he was such and such. I'm like, no. That's not my thing. I can't see it. Nobody, somebody else. I'm sorry. Just say, I don't like that idea. I mean, because I would rather engage. Sexual energy is such an intense energy. I want to engage. If I have a sexual fixation, I want that person. I'm a Scorpio, though. I guess I'm different. I'm sure there's some Scorpios out here that play dress up, but, you know. I mean, I can understand dress up in terms of, like, maid and all this stuff, you know, little stuff like that. But actual somebody dressing up to someone that's a real person out in these streets. No. Oh, my goodness, funny. All right, so also in the news, Janelle Monáe came out this week talking with Jada and the Red Table Talk. She says, I'm everything. Janelle Monáe confirms she is non-binary in a new interview. And this is according to MSN.com, Lifestyle Buzz. It says, musician and actor Janelle Monáe confirmed she is non-binary. Let me make sure here. See if the sound is right. Hold on, guys. Okay. She confirmed this week that she is, this is where we got it up here. Hold on, guys. I just lost this thing. Put it up here. Okay. She meaning neither exclusively male nor female, and discussed what it means to her in a recent interview with Red Table Talk, a talk show hosted by Jada Pinkett Smith, her daughter Willow Smith, and her mother Adrienne Bankfield Norris. I'm non-binary, so I just don't see myself as a woman solely, Monáe said during the episode released Wednesday. I feel all of my energy. I feel like God is so much bigger than the he or the she. If I am from God, I am everything. I am everything, but I will always, always stand with women. I will always stand with black women, but I see everything beyond the binary. In the Rolling Stone cover in 2018, prior to the release of her album, Dirty Computer, Monáe came out as pansexual, which is an attraction to people regardless of their sex or gender. She said initially she identified as bisexual, but then later read about pansexuality and was open, like, oh, these things are... These things that I identify with, too, I'm open to learning more. I mean, who else can you be attracted to? When you say pansexual, this is what I can't understand. That's just bisexual. They got to help me understand all these terms, because there's nothing else to be attracted to but men and women. If you're attracted to both, that's your attraction. I mean, what's pan? Does it mean you attracted to something else out here, some other strange being? Because what the fuck else you going to be attracted to? I don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't understand. It's too many unnecessary. I'm not politically correct on here. It's too many unnecessary definitions. Shit. But anyway, she says, She said she initially identifies bisexual, but then later realized pansexual. All these things I identify with, too. I read that. She said, I am open to learning more about who I am. During the interview with Red Table Talk, she said when she sees people, she sees their energy. Hey, I don't see how you identify, she said. And I feel like that opens you up to fall in love with whoever, with any beautiful spirit. Okay? I guess I can see that a little bit. You know, because I always say I'm in love with Jeannie, Janet Jackson, but I'm not, I don't like other, I don't got no, I'm a woman. I got a coochie cat. And I like men. I be praying with Janet. But I love men. But I got masculine energy, but I don't think I'm everything. I'm definitely something. I know y'all out here, y'all new school is different. I'm non-binary. Can we go with they or them or they or he? I'm like, hell, doesn't that make you more confused? I mean, just I'm just asking, you know, I'm an old dinosaur out here in the streets. I had a girl do this last semester in class, and I was like, baby, I was like, don't seem more confusing? Oh, little, she said. I was like, I know. But what was you born in? Well, I feel like I'm a girl, but I was like, you look like a girl. I mean, I'm just saying, what are we talking about here? I mean, Janelle Monáe, you got a cookie cat? I'm not understanding what's going on here. I'm just confused. I'm everything. And I understand attracted to energy, okay, because you can be attracted to people's energy. I get that. And there are people, a lot of people like that now. I will say, there is something to sexual taste, okay? So, you know, when she says she attracted to people's energy, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you do have sexual things that cannot be given to you from a male if you like women. So if you love women and you like eating kitty cat and bumping cats, males can't do anything. If you a man and you like dick, I mean, you know, because it's not many women that can give off dick. It's that they got a dildo. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of confusion. I feel like so much confusion in the world. I mean, sexuality is, it's more simpler than what everybody's making it. All these definitions, there's several definitions for something simple as this, that I'm in a relationship with a man and I'm a man, or, you know, I'm in a relationship with a woman. It's just so, I'm in a relationship with a transsexual and I'm a transsexual. I mean, it's just, it's so much. I think it's more simple. I think we're making something that's pretty simple, very difficult. But it was a very good, how can I say this? A very good interview. And I think that everybody should listen to it. There were some very good moments in that interview, okay? But however, I don't believe in this new non-binary thing. Don't get offended. I'm sorry. I think I know there are some people who are born with both sexes, but even there's one more chromosome that determines sexuality, okay? And I understand that people mentally can feel a certain way and they change over into a woman or whatever. I get that. But to say we're everything, we're walking around with a kitty cat and you don't have no penis, I mean, I don't know. But I'm glad she's sharing this experience. Perhaps I will learn more about it. But she says, she said her grandmother, for example, is very religious. She said, my whole family is church, church, church. And I'm just like, well, what does it mean to go against your whole family on this thing? She said, but I was ready. I was like, you know what? If they don't love me, don't call me asking me for no money. You won't get my LGBTQIA and money. Let me just say this, okay? You know, you want people to accept you for who you are with your sexuality, then you should, I feel like people should accept people's religious beliefs for what they are. You don't have to be mean and cruel, but if people have a belief in their spirituality, that they don't believe in certain sexuality and sexual things, doesn't mean they don't love you. But she's putting demands on her family, but they can't put demands on her. it's just kind of crazy, but why can't you guys come to some sort of agreement? It's just an interesting thing. The interview was very interesting. I think you'll learn a lot about Janelle Monáe. I actually felt like I learned a lot about it. I really liked it. I liked the interview. She's a very beautiful woman, too, by the way, okay? I mean, beautiful energy. Did I say that right? Okay. moving on to the next story here. Let's see, what else would I want to talk to you guys about? Okay, we got to talk about this woman who went to court. You know how you hate jury duty. Man, jury duty, man. I got out of jury duty one time in Kansas City. Man, they called me for jury duty. I was like, nah. I got to make money. I got to make this money. They ain't going to mess up my money. Because, you know, on jury duty, they don't pay you hardly nothing. And so the case that I was supposed to be on for jury duty was like if some guy, I think I forget, he was a molester or something like that, and they let him out of jail early. It was something stupid. So we had to determine whether he should go back or whatever. It was a very complicated case. And, you know, they were saying, would anybody be biased right now against the state for releasing this man at a certain time? And I was like, ooh, here's my out. So everybody was in here, you know, in there quiet and stuff. I was like, I raised my hand. I said, I'm biased already. I mean, you trying to get me to put him back in jail after you done took him out. I got a problem with that. That's your problem. This is not my problem. This is me. It's okay. This is years ago. The lawyers was all looking at me from both sides. So I said, yeah, damn right, I got a bias, and you're going to basically have to waste my time, but you didn't give him the proper amount of time that you should have gave him when he first got the time. Because you made a mistake don't mean I should feel guilty and turn back around. I think you got to let him out and do what you need to do. I can't go back around and mess up your mistake. They was like, both sides were looking at me like, man, you're dismissed. I knew it was going to happen. Then after that, everybody else started raising their hands. I'm like, I got to buy it. Hurry up, got myself a scuffle out of here. But, you know, jury duty can be great, especially if you have a good case. But at the time I was young, I had money to be made. They wasn't giving me no money, and I was making more money at my work. I was like, no way. I can't afford to be sitting at no jury duty with a fucking shit. But jury duty can be a great thing. I've had some friends who got some great cases or whatever when they've done jury duty. Some of my relatives have too. So, but this is funny. This story right here is a woman. This is for us. It's according to BizPackReview.com. It says rejected Parkland juror says her sugar daddy money pays $8,000 a month, needs to avoid hardship. While many Americans believe that jury duty is a civic obligation, others will go to great lengths in order to get out of it. One method is to take the late George Carlin's advice and tell the counselors, I can't spot a guilty person like that. It's that your feet. Another option is to pull the sugar daddy card. That was precisely what one Florida woman did recently as the penalty phase is set to commence in the Parkland shooting case where Nicholas Cruz was found guilty of premeditated murder of 14 students and 3 staff at a majority Stoneman Douglas High School in 2008. What lay before the murderer now is sentencing trial in which either the death penalty or life in prison without parole will be handed down for his crime. But a woman known only as Ms. Bristol cannot be bothered with any deliberations as a member of the killer's peers, okay? And that's a hard case to judge, too, you know. I think that sometimes when it's stuff like that, that should be left sentencing, like death penalties and stuff should be left to judges, but that's my personal opinion. She told the circuit judge Elizabeth Shire she would be unavailable for several days during the trial, which is expected to last the entire month. She said, I'm married, and I have my sugar daddy, a prospective juror, told the Florida judge this week in her bid to get out of service. On Parkland killer Nicholas Cruz death penalty jury. Okay, so let's take a listen. Hopefully y'all can hear this about her talking about her she needs to get out of jury duty. Let's see.
Yes,
tell me
why your name is Bristol. Okay. 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 Okay.
Wait a minute, I don't think I heard, gave y'all where you guys could hear that. Hold on just a second. Let me play it again. Hold on. Hopefully you guys can hear. Okay, I don't know if you guys heard that audio, but she was telling the judge she has her sugar daddy that she has to see every day. She said they asked her. She told the court she was going to be busy the month of July. She said she has July 7th, July 4th, and July 18th. And again, I need to figure out something. I have my sugar daddy that I see every day. The native New Yorker is playing. Oh, it will be a New Yorker. It will be a damn New Yorker. She said, I'm sorry, you need a sugar daddy in New York. She, listen, I would definitely live in New York if I had a sugar daddy. If I was single. If I was single in these streets, I would definitely live in New York if I had a sugar daddy. Jeff Bezos, preferably. You can't afford New York without Jeff. Bill Gates, too. You got to have sugar daddy like Bill Gates, Jeff, up in these streets to afford New York. Shit, New York looks fun. New York would be a great place. Because, you know, I have a little bit of, a little touch of ADD. You know what I'm saying? My attention be, you know, so New York would be fun for that, but I'd be worried about how I'm going to eat. So I had to be up here with turning tricks with Jeff. What in the world is going on? My sugar daddy, Miss Bristol replied, I'm married and I have my sugar. She said she's married and she got her sugar. This is one right here. She said, and have my sugar daddy. She said of her predicament, I see him every day. Perhaps wishing to avoid any further explanation of what they just heard, both counsel and judge never circled back to Miss Bristol, and she was summarily dismissed along with 120 prospective jury members. She told WPLG that a month away from her obligations as a beneficiary of the mystery man could mean the forfeiture of $8,000 a month and a possible loss of her house. Child, $8,000 a month? Where y'all give these sugar daddies for $8,000 a month? My gosh. Let's listen to her. I think she's going to taco here. Let's see.
Thank you. Now to a one and only exclusive. Earlier this week, a potential juror in the penalty phase of the prosecuting trial told the judge she couldn't serve because she has a sugar daddy. Well, that clip went viral online, and now she wants to set the record straight. We have Local 10's crime specialist Bridget Matter live in Fort Lauderdale with the exclusive interview. Bridget.
This woman said she wanted to talk to us because she wanted to let people know she was being honest, that serving on a jury would put her in a financial hardship because she can't see her sugar daddy. No one expected jury selection in the Parkland shooter's penalty phase trial to go viral, but this clip of a potential juror explaining why she can't serve on the social media.
I need to figure out something. I have a sugar daddy that I question with it.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, but I'm sure that I have a question with it.
Okay. That woman, Mrs. Bristol, a native New Yorker, says she wasn't trying to weasel her way out of jury duty.
If I do this kid for 6 months, I have a hardship. That means my sugar daddy can't support me.
She told me that 6 month time frame would put her in a financial bind. How much exactly per month she claims she'll miss out on?
$8,000 a month.
The penalty phase for the shooter could last up to 6 months. Jurors would have to make a recommendation to the judge of a life or death sentence.
It's all day for 6 months. And that was my hardship. I need my sugar daddy money.
Bristol says she was honest, saying her hardship was financial, to the judge excused her.
I said to the judge, I have a sugar daddy, and I'm married, and I have a husband. Just like that.
The judge heard other more common hardships, like having 2 jobs or a long vacation, but none as unique as this one.
I did ask Bristol if the judge asked her to provide any proof of this. She said no, that she was simply excused. Eventually, 12 jurors and 8 alternatives.
She said, damn that, I got to get my $8,000 a month. She's from New York, so she used to the hustle. Listen, I'm just saying, $8,000 a month? First of all, listen, sis, I don't know if that was just a bad wing day or nothing. If you get $8,000 a month, step up the lace front game. It might have been a bad day, though. It might have been just a bad day. They just like, you know, they like, when she getting $8,000 a month, it's just true. I mean, who's paying her $8,000 a month? That's, I'm telling you, I mean, she got, she know the hustle. She, listen, she got to have that $8,000. She said she can't be playing out here in these streets. It will mess her up. She got to see him every day. That's wild, okay? She just said, "Look, we don't let this lady go. We don't do this here. We ain't gonna deal with this." Hey, she said she told her truth, okay? She got whole shit to do up in these streets, all right? I mad at it. She got a husband too. Her husband say she got whole shit to do. She got to go out here and get that $8,000 for us. I mean, she all up on TV. I mean, if her husband didn't know about her sugar daddy, he know about him now. What a mess. What is going on in this world? We are definitely living in this is the Twilight Zone. Every time I wake up, I say it's the Twilight Zone. I sit in a little bed. Welcome to the Twilight Zone. Every morning. There's a little man in my head going, welcome to the Twilight Zone. As soon as you turn them loose, there he is. Welcome to the Twilight Zone. It's y'all do Twilight Zone shit. It's crazy. Twilight Zone is coming true. It's coming true. I can't imagine. We need to make Twilight Zones like this, where we're at a jury duty and a woman gets up and says, my sugar daddy, I can't serve on the jury because I got a sugar daddy and he paid me $8,000 a month, and I'm not giving him my $8,000 a month because I lose my car, my house. And then the music starts playing in the background. And the man comes out. You are now just into the Twilight Zone. Miss Bristol, coming on hard times, and she has to entertain the thoughts of jury duty. She speaks with the judge to let the judge know there's a reason that she can't serve. Welcome to the Twilight Zone. This is what she's doing. This is really real. She's really on TV saying she can't give him paper. It's a wild world, okay? It's a wild world. The Marvel comic, you know, every day I feel like, you know, so I kind of understand him more and more. Oh my God, a mess out in these streets. Okay, ASAP Rocky this week. Man, he got arrested as soon as he got off the plane in LAX coming back from that vacation. Rihanna's pregnant and got to deal with this. girl, I hope your baby, you and the baby okay. Oh, Lord, this is sad. I mean, you know, it's hard to go through with you pregnant. And now your man that went to jail while you're pregnant. But this is a, when it's happened in trouble before. But let's go ahead, page6.com. This is from page six. It says, they thought Rocky was arrested at LAX Wednesday morning in connection to a shooting that took place in 2021. The Praise the Lord rapper landed at the California airport, allowing his highly publicized trip to Barbados with pregnant girlfriend Rihanna, and was taken into custody and charged with assault with a deadly weapon. The Los Angeles Police Department announced in a press release the department made the arrest with assistance from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security investigation teams. Reps for Rocky didn't immediately return page six request for comment. Rocky, whose real name is Rakeem Myers, has been under investigation by the LAPD for his alleged involvement in the November 6th shooting. Police said an argument between two acquaintances escalated and resulted in the suspect firing a handgun at the victim. Following the shooting, the suspect and the two additional males were interesting on foot, they said. Authorities later identified Rocky 33 as the suspect, okay? Rocky previously found himself in legal hot water in 2019 when he was arrested and jailed in Sweden. Remember that? And for a month for his involvement with a street fight with an alleged drug addict. A Swedish judge ordered Rocky and two members of his crew to be released until the judge announced a verdict in an explosive assault case that even attracted President Donald Trump's attention. Rihanna, girl. You Pisces, girl. You Pisces know how to pick them, don't they? Lord, Rihanna, I'm just wishing the best for you. I hope. He sound like he might. I hope he ain't no thug out of these streets. He ain't no baby. Stopping the baby. Got thug-like tendencies, rather. Oh, my Lord. This is not what that woman needs while she's pregnant, okay? Hope it all works out. Mm-mm-mm. But it sound like they've been watching his ass, okay? So they might got a case. Okay, we talked about Janelle being everything. What else we got to talk about in the street? Nick Cannon shows up on another maternity suit, another day in the Twilight Zone. What's going on to help him? Is that a part of the contract when you get pregnant by Nick? Make sure you do a photo shoot. I can't deal with it. I'm not even talking about Nick. I can't deal with Nick today. Oh, my God. Can we talk about Future? Future, Scorpio Future, Sierra's X-Men Future. Child, Sierra and Lori. Just know God was good to you and gracious to you, even more gracious to you, Lori Harvey, because you got away without a baby. Future claims women were toxic to me. He is the victim. This is according to Vulture.com. If Future's an expert in something besides the slurred Atlanta trap style he perfected over the past day, it's toxicity. Bitches are among the man's favorite topic to rap about, and the real-life evidence bears out, including his seven children with seven different women. Is it seven? Is it seven? Because the last I heard, did I get the number right? Because I heard it was about 11. But maybe I'm wrong. What's the number? Is the number wrong? Is he not claiming some? I don't know. Allegedly out of these streets. Okay, so even GQ acknowledged that his trademark in a new cover proclaiming Future the best rapper alive ahead of his new yet untitled album. He need all that money for them albums out April 29th. So let's hear what the man out on what he knows best. People have their own definition of what toxic is, Future told the magazine. These women were all toxic to me. They just don't want to admit it. Future says we got it all wrong. He was never the toxic one. To backtrack, this came up with regards to Future's 2022 single, Worst Day, and celebrating Valentine's Day with too many women in their life. Totally non-toxic, right? History behind putting the song was simple. get past it, talk about it, don't have to talk about it no more. But the video kept people talking about it thanks to a cameo by YouTuber Kevin Samuels, who has his own toxic views on what modern women get wrong. Future, for his part, claimed he didn't know about Samuels' reputation beforehand, and the cameo came from the director. But back to the toxic stuff, because the man has even more to say. Future said he's been living and growing, and his new album is going to reflect that. It's about sometimes having an open heart, handling everybody with open arms, but that can have its consequences, he continued. Some people out there trying to make you seem like suspect. He said, really, you are the victim. Take it from a man who's about to publicly dish 7 women Happy Mother's Day and she read. Let me stop it. Okay. Oh, Lord, I read that whole thing. Future says he's a common denominator in all of these relationships, but the women is toxic to him. And I'm sure to some certain extent there may be toxicity on both sides, but the consistent mother, and when I say this literally for Future, the consistent motherfucker in all of this has been Future. I mean, that's literally what he is. Future's out here telling people he's not the toxic one, but he's in every toxic relationship. He's such a delusional Scorpio. He's so fucked up in these streets. He's the kind of Scorpio. He's the kind of thing you don't want to give up. Sierra, I know what happened. Sierra, I too have been a Scorpio involved with other Scorpios. And listen, give me some toxic shit. And the Scorpio males are different from the Scorpio women. Because some of them be on shit like Future, where they can't see their own toxicity. They're like, I'm not toxic, you the toxic one. You and I, you're going to be. That's a Scorpio male shit. Unless you're a healthy Scorpio male. Future's a nutcase. Oh, my God. Oh, is that anybody else? I would run. Run, ladies. That's all I can tell you. Run. If he comes up to you, run as fast as you possibly can. And whatever you do, if you fall for the Scorpio male charm, make sure he doubles up with condoms because you do not want to be trapped with this man's seed. Save yourself. Sex and move on. Don't have no babies. Save yourself, lady. Please, please. That's the funniest thing of the day. Future says he is the victim. Oh, God. Why? What do we have to talk about? Oh, my goodness. Can I talk about Bad Barbie first, this white girl that y'all have given so much money? She was on Dr. Phil. I remember when she was on Dr. Phil. She was so disrespectful. In fact, it's the same one to her mother. I mean, her mother was really scared. And now she's got so much money. She bought a home for $6.1 million. Oh, Lord. $6.1 million. And they said she paid for it in cash. Y'all done made... This is, again, the Twilight Zone. Y'all made somebody who's toxic as fuck. Y'all just gave her a bunch of money. Cash me outside, girl. According to dailymail.co.uk, bad girl Bobby, 19, buys 7-bedroom Florida mansion for $6.1 million and pays cash. I want to tell you kids to do the right thing in life, but when I see shit like this, I can't. I don't know what to say. Daniel Bergoli, 19, a.k.a. Bad Barbie, a.k.a. Cash Me Outside Girl, paid 6.5 for a Boca Raton mansion in March. Recently, she said she paid for the home in cash. Oh, Lord, how nice. But Bergoli lost her fame at the age 13 after 2016 appearance on Dr. Phil's show titled I Want to Give Up My Car, Stealing Mike, Wielding Torch, and 13-year-old daughter who tried to frame me for a crime. On the episode, Bergoli challenged laughing audience members to catch me outside, how about that, which was misheard as cash me outside, how about that, due to her heavily affected accent. The phrase in the clip became a meme sensation and launched Bergoli into internet stardom. She was signed to Atlantic Records by Adam Kruger in 2017, starting a reality show, bringing up Bobby in 2019, and in April 2021, started an OnlyFans account, Six, which earned her $1 million in its first hour alone. She said, I never wanted to be famous, she told Variety in 2021. I was handed it, and instead of being an embarrassment and a joke for the rest of my life, I became something successful. Oh, gosh, what are we doing? The world is a different. Lord help us. Oh, my God. Y'all gave this chick so much money. She went and bought a... Listen, it is what it is, a child out here. This is what y'all celebrating. Okay. That's going to be the last story tonight. I was going to talk about The Weeknd being extra petty, putting his girlfriend's voicemail, ex-girlfriend's allegedly voicemail out there. But no. What is the last story? We talked about Future Sin. Women were... okay. Now, y'all heard about the two women getting pregnant in prison by the transsexual, which is a crazy story, okay? That's crazy. But we won't end with that tonight. We'll end on... I don't even want to end on Kris Jenner and them. I don't know. Oh, Mike Tyson. This is a great story to end on, okay? Mike Tyson this week was on, I think, Joe Rogan last week or something, and he said an interesting theory about some wealthy in the country, which I thought was pretty interesting. It says, Mike Tyson really believes homeless people are hunted by the rich, lays out theory to Joe Rogan. This is according to Joe Rogan according to sportbible.com. It says Mike Tyson discussed the theory of wealthy hunting the homeless for a spot on a recent episode of Joe Rogan. It says the boxing legend sat down with the UFC commentator Rogan for over 3 hours on Friday to discuss a number of topics, one of which has caused debate online. Iron Mike speculated that a number of the world's elite have previously kidnapped vagrants to chase them on private land for fun. Of course, the pair were smoking a huge amount of weed during this conversation. Tyson said, whatever you think a human did to another human being, it happened. Whatever it is, it happened, okay? Now, this is Mike Tyson and Joe Rogan floating a conspiracy theory that claims the homeless people are being kidnapped. So let's take a listen to him, what he said.
Whatever you think a human did to another human being, it happened.
Yeah.
Every human thing, I don't fuck to eat or whatever, it happened.
Somewhere in history, it definitely happened.
Yeah.
It probably happened somewhere.
Before. Yeah. And sometimes in these special camps and stuff, it happens. If you could only thousands of acres and nothing grows on them.
Right. Weird ranches where people meet.
Take one of these large estates of property, and
run. Nigga, run. No, really, I believe that. I think book was the most dangerous game. Didn't that come out like the 30s? It's an old book about that very kind of rich people.
The only reason we let the fox. The only one that backs track. Like if you chase it, it goes slow and then it comes backwards and go this way. That's why that's the only really challenging. That's the only challenging chase. Everything else is too easy. So simple minded, the fox is the only one that's challenging.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
I never thought about that one.
So now they say, well, the fox is the most reasonable animal. Let's try the human animal, see how reasonable he is. Guaranteed someone's done that. That's why they want to challenge reasonability.
Yeah.
Let's see how he thinks. How is he superior than us? They're not going to do anything they think doesn't. They're going to study what they're going to attack, what they're going to make their victim.
Now, that does not sound out of the realm of possibility for me. Remember years ago, there was a movie, I think, with Ice-T in it, like back in the 90s, where they was chasing around these people on this farmland and they were hunting them. I totally believe conspiracy theories like this. Yes. Just like I believe conspiracy theories about occultists, that some of the missing children allegedly and stuff like that have been put in occult groups and stuff like that. I believe stuff like, oh, no, it's not beyond the realm of reality of somebody chasing somebody, some motherfucker around on a farm hunting them. Y'all would have thought, if I would have told y'all 10 years ago, they got damn pedophile islands where the rich and wealthy go and get to mess with kids, y'all would have said, what? No, they can't have nothing like that. You wouldn't believe nothing like that. A la Jeffrey Epstein. Shit. So I wouldn't doubt nothing like this happened. Okay, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Remember that movie, though, with Ice-T in it? I think he was one of the people they was chasing or something. See, I could totally see some crazy shit going on like that. Totally crazy, nutty. We live in a nutty world. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I think it's a Twilight music. Twilight Zone. This is a Twilight Zone shit. It is what it is, y'all. Crazy. Okay, is that my last story for tonight? I think it is. I'm not going to talk about Trey Songz in the video from 2013. The girl found the video. She was groping her, and she laughed and everything. She looked a little uncomfortable. It still wasn't right, but she had video of it. But it's from 2013. I'm like, help her, what took you 9 years to report that shit? Trey Songz is getting the business right now, child. The business, okay? You hear me? The business. Yeah, I'm not going to be Trey right now. Oh, my goodness. You guys, thank you for hanging out with me like you do every week. I am so excited again. I'm getting ready to go see Maxwell in Oakland, the night tour. I'm always excited. You're like, Carlotta, do you ever get tired of seeing Maxwell? Nope. I'm always excited when I get to see Maxwell, when he flashes that smile, and you're like, okay, I don't feel so bad about buying this ticket. I don't feel so bad about you canceling on me. Flash the smile again. Yeah, I do. Wait a minute. I do kind of feel it, but the smile helps. Oh, my goodness. So I will tell you guys about the show. I mean, God bless when I get back. But remember, I will not be having a show this weekend coming up. So this is y'all's show for the week, okay? So y'all have a good one. Have a wonderful week this week. Wish me safe travels, okay? And remember, you can hit me up on the Carlotta Catwood Facebook page. You can also hit me up on Carly's_Galaxy on Instagram and on Twitter. There's two accounts. There's C Chatwood Show and Carlotta72. Okay, guys? So I hope y'all have a good week, and I will see y'all. I am leaving out with tonight. I don't know. We're going to leave out with Sway by Julian Vaughn. I'm Carlotta, and y'all have a good one. I'm out. See y'all. Mm-hmm.